third and final hour of the most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. I thought the Chandler Rome of the Athletics account of last night's very, very awkward three-pitch exchange between Astros ace Framber Valdez, who has been pretty bad for most of the last month and a half, and backup catcher Cesar Salazar is probably the best account that anyone has of what went down last night. So in case you're just tuning in and have missed the first 2 hours of this show where we have been very heavy on this topic, Framber Valdez, after this little moment, went to Cesar Salazar's locker. They spoke with one another. Framber showered and in street clothes. Salazar in a chair wearing his full uniform after his 14th major league start. The conversation was interrupted by bench coach Omar Lopez. Both were brought into Joe Espada's office. Both players had explanations as to what went down. They differed a little bit in detail. Maybe that conversation they were having before they were brought in allowed them to get their story straight. I would imagine if you're Cesar Salazar, even if you got wronged, you're thinking to yourself, I got to figure out a way to make sure this doesn't end up seeing me get demoted back to Sugarland. But the theme from both of them, and I don't think they were brought in separately, Valdez did not intentionally throw a 92.8-mile-per-hour pitch at Salazar. Said Valdez, through an interpreter, must be nice, he's my teammate, he's always here for me, I don't ever want to cause any harm to my teammate, it was something that I excused myself with, I got crossed up by mistake, and I hit him by mistake. But watch that pitch again. It just does not feel like a mistake, doesn't it? I don't know how anyone could make that argument. Yeah, that was a mistake. He didn't mean to do that. He walked straight back. Didn't even look back. I think if he hadn't meant to do it, there would have been a little hands on his head or bending over or swearing loudly at himself. None of that happened. None of it. More from Framber Valdez through an interpreter. Did I say Framber? More from Framber Valdez through an interpreter. Per Valdez, Salazar called a curveball, but I wanted to throw a sinker. Talking about the Grand Slam. He called for a curveball, but I already had in mind that I was going to throw a sinker. So that's what I threw. That's what happened. It was not intentional, continued Valdez. I called for a sinker, and that's the pitch I wanted. There was a lot of noise, and I thought that was what he wanted me to throw. But no, it was not intentional. How do you know what he wants you to throw? You don't wear a pitch comm. He doesn't wear it on his glove to call his own games. He was trying to do that back in the day. Asked how he could call anything given that circumstance, Valdez replied, it wasn't necessarily that I called for it. That was just the pitch that I had in mind. He called for the curveball, and I didn't hear it because of the noise. When I realized that he didn't want that, it was too late, and I was already in my throwing motion. It was totally my fault in that case. I wonder if this Astros interpreter ends up staying longer with the Astros, but if I'm Framber and I hear that this is how it all came out, where the story seems to change enough where it makes everything that you heard seem a little less plausible, I probably, if I'm Framber, want somebody else. Much like when he first had Yiner Diaz as his battery mate, he seemed like he wanted someone else. The accommodations this team has made for Framber Valdez over the course of his time here are understandable given how good he is as a pitcher, how consistent he's been, how durable he's been. I am not taking shots at his talents. And as far as I know, off the field, good guy. But this temper stuff happens so often. At what point is it going to improve for him? You're an adult. I mean, Framber Valdez is not a 22-year-old. Framber Valdez is 31. He's going to turn 32 on November 19th. That's not an old age. There's a lot of very beautiful people who are 32 years old. Very, very beautiful people. Very beautiful. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, love you. But Framber at 31 should be more mature than he is. You might be thinking to yourself, Paul, you're one of the most immature people I know. Yes, and I am paid like it. I am paid like it. I know I don't have a $300 million contract on the table this offseason, not $200, not $100 million. Can we get to $100,000? Would be nice. It would be nice. Investors, possibly you, it would be nice. This is why I don't act mature. Paul, you need to act for the job that you want. You have to dress for the job that you want. You're just wearing a Coug shirt, stolen valor today. That's not the point. Framber should know better by now. And there's been no progress. And that to me, especially knowing that he has gone after this year, just given the Astros track record, unless he agrees to a 6-year deal of some sorts or a 5-year deal or whatever the Astros end up offering him. I do think that Dana Brown, with the interview that he did today, yeah, he just gets mean. Angry sometimes.
Like he's red.
He said, yeah, he's red. Yeah, that's what baseball always say,
see,
Sean.
That's what he needs to. He needs to shift the narrative because in today's baseball, this is inexcusable. This is bad. This is something you just don't do. Back in the day, it's just, hey, don't mess with this guy. Yeah. You know? He didn't get the pitches. He didn't get the catcher didn't call the pitch you wanted. Boom. Hits the catcher. Called the right pitch. Now, also, don't get off. Don't give up a grand slam.
Yes.
Two pitches before that.
Right.
But, you know, hey, don't get in Fromber's way. He only knows how to go one way, and that's 100 miles per hour. Well, 92.
90, in the, sometimes 94.
In the chest of the backup catcher.
Who did have padding, thankfully. Some comments here from the 409. It seems like a lot of the general managers and front offices for the major sports in Houston do a lot of accommodating for less than stellar performances. Cough, cough, James Harden. Cough, cough. Well, speaking of James Harden, interesting piece. A very interesting piece from Culture Map. James Harden's Houston restaurant locked out over $2.2 million in unpaid rent. NBA star James Harden's time as a Houston restaurant owner may have come to an end. A lockout notice has been posted on the door of 13, his restaurant in Midtown. The letter states 13 owes more than $2.2 million in unpaid rent for its space at 1911 Bagby Street. The amount is paid, the restaurant would regain access to the space and could resume operations. Their social media accounts are still active. The restaurant is still accepting reservations on OpenTable.
Oh.
Harden opened 13 in 2021. You know, considering all the negative reviews that Steph Curry's wife's barbecue joint got, I'm surprised that Harden's hasn't gotten more. Supposedly, it's not bad. I've never been.
Well,
supposedly his wine's not bad either, for what it's worth.
Well, I saw him on the court. He's good at whining. Hey-o, boom. Yeah, it doesn't sound like we'll be able to get a. I mean, they'll take a reservation. Doesn't seem like they can serve food. because you can be short $2 million on your rent, and like it takes until $2 million for them to be like, all right,
yeah,
you gotta pay. Like, what? Should I not pay rent and just see what happens? Can I just live for free for a little while?
Yes, just do it. Just see what happens. Yeah,
James Harden got the $2 million before he had to face any consequences.
That is honestly wild. Like, what?
$2 million.
I'm assuming he doesn't own the building, so
I'm sure they're charging more than like $1,200 a month. Like, I'm sure it's a lot of money.
But how much? How much would it realistically be? You know, because you got
How many months of missed payments do you think you get to $2 million? It has to be like six, at least.
Man, is that place worth $50,000 a month?
Probably not. Actually, yeah, it's probably, what, like 20?
Because even, what's
the square footage? What are we doing?
Right, exactly. I know nothing about commercial real estate.
I just assume it's expensive.
But $50,000 a month, still, I mean, it would take 20 months to get to just $1 million.
Okay, and it's been 4 years, and 20 months is a little less than 2 years. Has he ever paid rent? Has this place ever paid rent? It opened in 2021.
Just put it on my tab.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
We might have to do some deep diving on that.
Pablo Torre. You know what? Let's tweet this at Pablo Torre. Hey, check this out.
Check this out, indeed.
Actually, you know how many DMs he probably gets of like, hey, check this out.
Especially with Kawhi today.
Yeah, this is the second, I'd say the second most noteworthy, I'll say, corporate malfeasance underhanded business dealings from a current LA Clipper.
A lot of this going on right now.
Yeah, in the LA Clippers locker room, really. Mm-hmm.
Clippers locker room just does not understand a business etiquette.
Jerry Jones would be very disappointed because they don't respect a handshake and a look in the eye when you make a deal.
Jerry Jones is going to get some ideas from this.
Oh, you don't think it's crossed his mind before?
Honestly, he might have already done it.
A lot of teams have done
for sure.
Essentially what Steve Ballmer and Kawhi Leonard are accused, or not accused of, that Pablo Torre reported that they did, is basically Kawhi Leonard got a no-show job of speaking for
trees,
even though he never spoke for, or, you know, just general being a spokesperson for, a tree planting company, a company that supposedly would go out and plant trees.
Very green. Salute.
Yes.
Saving the earth.
Kawhi Leonard never did that, got paid $28 million, and Steve Ballmer was a investor in that company and invested $50 million in that company. Whoops.
Thought we were pro paying players.
Yeah. It's tough, though, when you have a salary cap and the owner is basically paying you outside the salary cap. That's where it gets tough.
That's fair. Anyway, guys, it's the Paul Gallant Show. That's Sean Mavis behind the glass. On Framber Valdez, 97.5 and 92.
Sorry, we went 5 minutes without talking about Framber Valdez.
A texter asks, and I'm pretty sure it's the same person, have y'all covered Framber? Why are you talking about James Harden? Ugh. Anyway. That's life.
That's life.
Anyway, sports, it's a thing. We talk about them. Stay put. Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. There is another Astros game tonight, believe it or not. Who would have thought that going into tonight's Astros-Yankees game that we'd be looking and perhaps trusting this man more than Framber Valdez? And I'm talking about Jason Alexander, because Jason Alexander's been pitching pretty well recently. Jason Alexander for your Houston Astros looks a little like me. Does have the thick eyebrows. When I had the beard, looked a little bit like me. pretty solid, pretty effective.
Yeah, I can see it. It's not the most ridiculous, you look like this guy one. I don't know what is, but Jason Alexander, I can see the, if you were to like draw a picture, like a police sketch, and it's like, you both would get called in for questioning.
He has big eyebrows, and when I had a full beard, beard was very thick. It's very white now, so I'm not sure how it would work. But since his ERA was a whopping 10.5 on, actually, check that. When was his ERA the worst this season? I'm just scrolling down. After a 19-2 loss against the Los Angeles Dodgers with, I believe this was with the Oakland, check that, the homeless A's, where his ERA was 18, and his ERA for the month of May was 34.71.
Oh, my God.
It's one start. Two and a third.
Okay.
Two and a third, nine earned runs.
That'll
do it. But since then, his ERA has slowly dropped from 18 to 10.5 to 8.4 to 8.14 to 7.36 to 5.97, 5.02, 4.74, 4.59. And it went up a little bit after his last start against the Rockies, where he allowed two home runs. But his ERA in August, 2.17.
Whew.
In five starts. One of which was against the Yankees, two of which were against a Baltimore Orioles team that at least at one point in the distant past was good. Also against a, at the time, red-hot Miami Marlins team. And that's really the game I thought where he seemed to get the most confidence. You could tell coming out of that game when he was pulled after six sittings just how pumped he was with the performance that he'd put out there. So big outing for Jason Alexander tonight. And amazingly, he's more trustworthy than Framber Valdez over the last month. Statistically, that is true. Vibe-wise, shouldn't be true. I still would trust Framber Valdez, but I don't trust him that much. It's more like, well, I've got to pick between Framber Valdez and Jason Alexander. I'm picking Framber, but there's so many possibilities when you open that door with Framber. Like, I do not know what I'm going to get. Is Framber Valdez going to throw a no-hitter? Or a shutout, or go seven innings of one-run ball with 12 strikeouts. He could. He also could have a rough outing, and he also could have a game where he has a meltdown, throws at a person who hits a home run against him, throws at the person who hits after the person who hits a home run against him, throws at his catcher, which he did.
Paul, but like you're supposed to throw at your catcher because they have a glove and you catch it, balls and strikes and all that stuff.
Yes, but he...
He did it the wrong way.
Did it in a way where it's... It's hard to believe his side of it. It's hard to believe the guy who got hits side of it. It's hard to believe Joe Espada, Dana Brown, everyone in the Astros. And big, big setting to turn the page because you're at Daikin Park. You got Astros media. They're going to be asking questions to everyone that will stick around for long enough before the game. Like this dialogue ain't done. Maybe on the record might be done. Can you turn the page, or is this something that's going to linger in the air? It's going to fester. It's going to be like a fart, minus a match, minus Febreze, just hovering in the air. It's like the real rank, deathly kind that comes when you've had a lot of meats and cheeses.
I don't know. Or is Jason Alexander the Febreze?
He's just a flamethrower. Methane going.
Jason Potpourri Alexander.
Zoe Z, this is a good question. Has Framber watched Bull Durham? Pause. Bull Durham, amazingly, as far as romance movies goes, pretty damn good. I teared up watching that movie. Did not see that coming. I thought it was going to be a comedy the whole way through. It's a movie about a journeyman catcher who finds love with essentially a baseball groupie. That's to put it politely. Did he confuse Cesar Salazar for Crash Davis and figured Salazar sold him out like Crash did when his pitcher didn't want him to throw the pitch he was calling? Could be. I mean, that would make me feel a little bit better, but I doubt that happened.
You know? Woof. It's hard, man. It's rough. (sighs) 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. The Twitch waiting with bated breath for Texans season to begin. I can't wait. For the 281, the fart was way too descriptive, bro. Well, listen, I'm just painting you a picture.
Theater of the mind.
I can't help if HEB is just right now showing a minute-long commercial showing all sorts of meats that they have there. The silent but deadly ones are created by meat. The loud tutti frutti ones, that is generally fibrous. I'm just saying, look it up. I'm right.
Okay. Paul, I'm not going to look it up, but okay.
Paul, how are you such an expert on toots?
Well, you know, sometimes you just got to pass gas. You know?
I thought you were going to play the sister as a doctor card there. It would have been much easier for you to play that card instead of, sometimes.
I'm just into farts.
Yeah.
What do you want from me?
Yeah. You love what you love. What can I say?
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Oh, boy. I would like just once to come in and do the God wills it thing with the Astros. Like, we haven't been able to do this in a really long time. We probably haven't been able to do God wills it since the Miami Marlins series. And that was almost a month ago. I think the last time that we did it on the show was after AJ Pluba's performance on August 5th.
What a performance.
It was. It was a hell of a performance. It honestly felt a little supernatural, you know? It has been a while. And hey, they took 2 or 3 against the Yankees, and they took 2 or 3 against the Red Sox after that. But it's just been a funky last couple of weeks. You shouldn't have split that series with the Rangers. You should have swept the Rockies. You should have swept the Orioles. And you should be leading the American League West by more games than you're leading it right now. And, you know, you got the Yankees, road series against Texas, road series against Toronto. This is a very tough next 8 games, and Fromber not only spoiled one of them, but he has you wondering about how much you can trust him for the next start, which happens to be against the best of those teams on the road, the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Woof!
Don't have super high hopes for this, and this is what we would talk about when the Astros would lose those winnable games against the Orioles, against the Angels, against all of them, where, hey, it's okay. It's actually kind of good that the Mariners keep losing so that you're not falling behind the Mariners, but you are missing an opportunity to build a lead, build a real lead, gain some wiggle room in this. And now comes the part where you're like, really wish that this was like a 6-game lead, which it very easily could be, instead of a 3-game lead. You feel a lot, or not better, but you know, we could talk about what do you do with Fromber? Do you skip Fromber Valdez's next start? Do you do this? And right now it's like, can you afford to do that, Kev? What can you actually do in this? And never mind the fact that Fromber Valdez actually is just pitching badly, and you would prefer, hey, maybe he gets on track and figuring things out when you're, again, up 5 or 6 games as opposed to 2 or 3.
Sigh. That's all I got. This topic has made me more mad at Fromber Valdez than I was at the beginning of the show. But now, all the life, all the zest.
He couldn't have had this start over this weekend. So
I know. Why didn't he do this on Saturday when I wasn't watching?
Yeah.
Hey, Fromber, next time you screw up, when you do it on the weekend. There's a chance they might not pay attention going forward.
Weekends during football season's a great time to slip in a little bit of
you might make
meltdown.
In case you missed it, you might make that. Mondays at 2:30. You might. Or excuse me. Tuesdays at 2:30. Wednesdays at 2:30. We do a little segment called Washed Watch. Is sports media washed? Is Kyle Field different?
Seems like it. All of that next, stay put. First, let me tell you about my friends at Walmart. So many things that you can buy at Walmart. They've got 500 million items online. Socks, soap, TVs, you name it. The Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Furniture. But the thing that's really changing the game for Walmart right now is that you can get groceries there, and even better, you can get groceries delivered. You think groceries cost more when they're delivered? At some stores, that is true. Not at Walmart. Grocery prices are the same for delivery as they are in the store. And since it's Walmart, you know the prices are low. Walmart can deliver many eligible items in as fast as an hour. Use Express Delivery to get all the eligible things you need from Walmart, from groceries to home goods to prescriptions. When it comes to feeding your family, hosting a tailgate, or throwing a party, think Walmart for all your grocery needs, or when it just comes to ordering something online. Socks, soaps, TVs, furniture, you know it. The Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? With groceries too, Walmart.com. Text in, Paul Galancho is watched. It hasn't talked about Fromm or Valdez in over 3 minutes. There's others that are annoyed that it's been all Fromm or Valdez today. Sorry, big story in Houston sports. We'll turn ahead to the Texans and do some season predictions and look at Thursday night football between the Eagles and Cowboys tomorrow. We'll probably make our own NFL predictions. I think NFL predictions are kind of stupid, to be perfectly honest. You know, like anyone can make predictions. I was right 1 year and people were like, you should brag about it. I was like, what? Because I said they were 10-7 in August and they ended up being 10-7. Like, I didn't know that I believed it.
Yeah, you just pulled out a number.
Everyone was so down on them. I was like, well, screw it. I'll be the one who's on them. And then everyone had the same prediction last year, and guess what? They did the exact same thing they'd done the year
before.
They went
10-7 and lost the division.
So this year I just said 10-7, and they're going to lose in the divisional round.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow.
What was more exhausting, or is more exhausting? The Fromm or Valdez 97.5 or Aziz Alshaier 97.5?
I liked Aziz Alshaier 97.5 because I was on Aziz's side. Like, I don't like dumping on a player. I actually don't. You know,
but. And there's also like two sites to be on Aziz Alshaier.
Yeah,
there's really only one.
There's only one. I don't see how anyone can defend Fromm for yesterday. I really don't. Like, I can understand how you don't think it's maybe as big of a deal as I'm making it out to be, but to me, this has just been boiling for a while, and it has finally gotten to a point of I'm done. The last month, all the other moments where he's had little meltdowns out there. I'm sorry. I just can't do it anymore. Washed Watch. What is washed to the world of sports and beyond? I saw a lot of complaints about the Kyle Field experience for Texas A&M fans. This from somebody who goes by at Hop Websider on X. Kyle Field earned its reputation as the best game day atmosphere in college football for the deafening crowd noise at critical times. Today, our game day signature is deafening electronic music for 3+ hours. Man, should have had that during the Johnny Manziel era. He might have never left for the NFL. Except at the snap of the ball when the music stops and all goes quiet. Mike Elko was even asked about all the blinding lights. I guess reporters are starting to get a little mad about
it.
Yeah,
they do a lot of schools do this. They do like some LED light show after they score a touchdown. And yeah, they asked Mike Elko about it.
Here's what Mike Elko had to say about Kyle Field, which is now a rave, apparently.
Yeah, I'll tell you the same thing I told my son. I have no idea what the LED looks like because I didn't even realize that they did anything with them. I guess we did a show after the third quarter, apparently, that I found out about after the game, and I had nothing to do with them. They tried to set up all these meetings with me, and I was like, yeah, I don't care about the LED lights. You guys will be fine. Just get them get them back on when the ball goes down and we got to play again.
Huh. So he's trying to act like it doesn't bother him. I don't know. I think it bothers him a little bit. I came to this culty place because I knew I was going to have the best home field advantage in the SEC, which I do think Kyle Field has. I really do. I think that's a brutal place to play a game. As someone who watched a game at the field level before the stadium added the end zone stands that weren't there. Like, I was there 2012 before they finished the stadium and made it an actual complete circle around. I mean, that was the coolest experience I've ever had in my life. It was so awesome. And it was so loud. It was so pumped. Yeah, I don't like this becoming an EDM rave.
Yeah. Mike Gelko's like, I didn't sign up for this job to listen to Tiesto. Yeah. I can do that in my own
Tiesto.
Time.
Or Little Baby to Baby.
Yeah.
Or Little Tiesto. Or Little Yell Leader.
Yeah. Avicii 2.0.
It would be funny if they had a remix of the Aggie Yell Leaders that they played to the electronic lights. It could be perfect because the people that actually like all the Aggie traditions, unironically, they'll still have them. And then all the people who think they're a little bit over the top will see them and laugh and have a good time and still get amped.
Yeah. And then you put, you know, some beats behind it.
Yeah. Put a little beats behind the
David Guetta on the horn.
Fighting Texas Aggies. Fighting Texas Aggies. Yeah. Fight it, Texas Aggies.
And then
fight it.
Bass drop.
Yeah. Here comes the beat.
I mean, I can't speak for Kyle Field specifically, although I believe it, because a lot of places do this. Like basketball, they do the same thing. The last Texans game I went to, it's the same thing, where it's like either we're playing very loud music or the game is being played currently. Or there's like a halftime entertainment or quarter break entertainment thing. But other than that, it's just blaring a song in your ears right now. And I do agree that I don't think it's actually great for getting the crowd into it.
Yeah, I think it's a lot. It's just a lot.
Yeah.
And it's confusing, especially if you've been going to these games for years and you know all these traditions. And it's just like, oh, bye. They're gone. It's over.
Or we have to like shout them over.
Yes.
I've run out of DJs to name.
Yes.
I can't keep naming DJs.
I can't either.
Skrillex.
Deadmau5.
There we go.
Eric. Steve Karaoke. Those are two guys. Anyway.
Marshmallow.
Wash 69. It's a DJ right there. What else is washed in the world of sports? Single Sydney Sweeney. Over. It's over. She's dating Scooter Braun. Allegedly.
Government name Scooter?
I don't know. All I know is, listen, I'm taken. I'm in a relationship with a woman that I love. But I look at Scooter Braun. I think he looks very beat upable for me. And I do not approve. I do not approve of this.
Scooter Braun height. 5'11".
Oh, I can kick his ass.
Tail the tape.
I can kick his ass. He hasn't played at Haskell Field.
Yeah.
He isn't an all-district safety that was third on the team in tackles.
44 years old.
Oh, he's 44 too? I can definitely take him.
Washed up.
He's got eight. Wait, she's dating. Oh, come on. Date Tom Brady if you're going to date someone in their 40s. Come on. I'm mad about this.
I love that day.
Yeah.
If we're going to date someone in their mid-40s.
Pretty sure Brady was interested, although Brady might be, Tom Brady.
He's like 46 or 47.
He's 48. He's 48.
Oh, wow.
You could have had Brady, and you chose.
I know. He was still winning Super Bowls at 44.
He chose someone named Scooter, who apparently the entire music industry hates. Anyway.
Discovered Justin Bieber, according to Wikipedia.
Cool. Help Justin Bieber discover certain other people. Then.
All right.
What? That's a thing. Anyway, washed watch continues. Who else is washed? Is sports media washed? Last Saturday was Lee Corso's last broadcast. Did anyone see Dave Portnoy's entrance on Big Noon Kickoff in Columbus,
Ohio, noted Michigan fan Dave Portnoy of Barstool Sports, now that Barstool's a part of Fox Sports.
Hail to the victor stallion! Hail to the conquering hero! Hail, hail to the check in the leaders in bed! Hail to the conquering hero! Hail to the conquering hero! Hail, hail to the check in the leaders in bed!
Oh, yeah. I love that. I'm not kidding. I actually loved that. I thought that was awesome. But this is what sports pregame shows are now. Barstool has Dave Portnoy to act as a wrestling heel. College Game Day without Lee Corso now turns to Pat McAfee. And I know this is certainly not for everyone. I like it. I think it's good to have something that actually makes the pregame shows fun. I think they all take themselves a little bit too seriously. Like, the NFL pregame shows are basically unwatchable now. But this is what you're going to have a lot of going forward. A lot of this in this little game that we like to call sports media.
Yeah. It is interesting that it's like at 9 a.m. That's a lot.
It is a lot.
To have someone screaming at me.
Yeah.
At 9 in the morning.
I did enjoy it. I laughed. He said, shut up, first thing he tells them. They're playing one of the best songs by The Who, Eminence Front, in the background as he's going out there. It's got just a fat beat, yo. For real.
I'll be honest. I don't really watch any of these shows anymore.
I don't either, but I watched that clip and I was like, that's funny.
Yeah,
I hope there are more clips like this.
The beauty of the Lee Corso thing is that it's the last thing on.
Right, it's on, the last 15 minutes.
It takes you right into the games, where it's like, I really don't need to be sitting here.
You know, the more you say that, you're right, because College Game Day, it's a long show, yeah, but a lot of people put it on a pedestal, and I'm like, okay, like, it's the entire show, great, this is the best sports show that there is. Well, it's long, so give them credit for filling out a three-hour time slot, and there's going to be, like, Tom Rinaldi talking about some dying person and with dramatic piano in the background and stuff, but, like...
They do a good job of, like...
You're right, I don't watch the whole thing.
Showcasing the place that they're at, they do a good job at that. Pretty good job at breaking down the games.
That's also true.
But, I mean, like we talked about last week, Lee Corso. That's the best part, and the Lee Corso signature moment, especially in more recent years as he's done less and less of the show, is the when they're picking games. And really, I don't care about who they pick. I just care about the last pick.
Washed Watch Wednesday, every Wednesday, 2:30. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You know how to get in. Some garbage time before we get out of here, and your final chance to ever say anything about Framber Valdez, who until further notice is dead to this show. He is officially that washed. He is so washed, we are scrubbing him from history like we're the Soviets back in the day. By the way, fun fact before the break, did you know that Vladimir Lenin's body is on display still in Russia? He's been dead for like 100 years. Just in a mummified, like, little thing. You can go in there. Take a look at him. It's still hip. It's crazy.
It's pretty rad.
It is pretty rad.
Not gonna lie.
I'm actually, like, that's one of the most impressive things Russia's done. Like, he still looks like Vladimir Lenin. Yeah, anyway, that's Washed Watch. We got garbage time next. And your last chance to weigh in on Framber Valdez ever. We will hang up on you and block your number if you ever do it again. Stay put.
The last chance to dance on the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Your last chance to ever talk about Framber Valdez, who is dead to me! He's dead!
We will never talk about him again unless the Astros are in the playoffs and he does something.
Will he just not exist? Will we just not talk about the Astros?
He must not be named.
I was going to ask, or will we give him Voldemort treatment? Oh, sorry. He who should not be named treatment.
Yes, exactly. No, Voldemort we can say, but we do not say as of...
Because he's dead now.
Yeah. Here's the last time we're ever going to say it, perhaps ever.
three, two, one.
Farewell and adieu to Framber Valdez. Farewell and adieu to you, unhinged starting pitcher.
Farewell and adieu. Okay? We wish you well. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
Including the Astros stretch run and into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But especially whoever your agent is. I hope he does whatever's best for you.
Yes.
And gets you the best deal that
the best deal.
Jim Crane has no choice but to let you walk.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, man. What if he is tanking his value so he stays? That'd suck.
What if he's exploring a career in sports talk radio? And as Tony the Handsome suggests, the Paul and He Who Must Not Be Named show, noon to 3, weekdays ESPN 97.5. That would be fun.
That would be great.
It would be so fun to have a person speaking English and a person speaking Spanish. He speaks English, and he speaks Spanish, and together, they don't know what each other are talking about.
How will they get along?
It's what? That's the name of the show. Working title. What K? K for your queso.
Yeah.
I don't know. Working title.
Well, Fromber and Paul.
Hey. We don't say that word anymore.
The FAP show.
Well, we've done Vag before.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The Vanessa and Gallant radio.
We've done Vag, Gag.
First thing that just came up on my Instagram is Vanessa's doing some advertisement for something. Just to, you know?
For Steve Ballmer's planting tree company? Or is it legit?
Got to find a way to pay Alperin Şengün under the table with all these threes he's hitting.
She's actually creating content for this, so
yeah.
She's doing more than what Kawhi Leonard did.
For sure. She already has done more.
She has fulfilled the contract more than Kawhi Leonard.
For sure. All right, a little garbage time. Let's get out of here. I've got Fromber.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Putting a dollar in the F word jar. For He Who Must Not Be Named.
Yes. Back-to-back days, you said the F word.
That's true. I did accidentally say the real F word yesterday. Wait, no. It was on.
It was yesterday. Talking about.
All right, days are all blurred together.
Herb Street's dog. Mm-hmm.
It's Choi, 713 says, I wouldn't mind. This sounds. Just now when I say it like this, I wouldn't mind. Redacted! Throwing a ball at my face. I think you would. That would hurt. Definitely heard. As someone who once had an ex-major league pitcher as a pitching coach who may or may not have been intoxicated while he was throwing at my head in high school to the point where I got scared of the baseball and stopped playing altogether. True story. You do not want any ball thrown at your head. 61 is enough when it's regularly hitting you in the head. 61 with a helmet on. Now imagine 92, right in the chest.
Yeah, he definitely has a bruise.
Oh, yeah.
Like, 100% he has a bruise.
It reminds me of the... Nah, I'm not going to sing it. I've already sang enough today. We sang in Spanish, Heat of the Moment by Asia. What a moment it was. Garbage time! What else is garbage? A fan who bet on Colorado... at a Vegas sports book, had a seizure when Haynes King scored a late touchdown for Georgia Tech. Listen, I don't have a gambling sponsorship right now, and I will gladly take this back if someone ever wants to pay, but this is why you don't gamble on games in a mall. Teams that you probably don't have a lot of interest in.
Yeah, or at the very least, you shouldn't gamble enough money to where you have a seizure at the thought of losing it.
Seriously. You gotta watch Uncut Gems. You gotta watch Uncut Gems. There are certain things that you watch. I watched Boogie Nights for the first time in a while over the weekend, and I've had some soul searching to do about certain things I used to watch going forward. And I would say the same thing when it comes to the movie Uncut Gems. Gambling on sports? After that? I mean, why? Why would you ever?
Yeah, he had a great business going with the jewelry stuff.
He did. And then...
he had the bedazzled Furby. Come on.
And then next thing you know, his brains were bedazzling the trunk of a car. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler. Actually, he won that bet.
He did win the bet.
He won that bet.
Never saw it.
KG did get a triple-double.
And what's her face? The...
Julia Fox?
Right. Which is his... mistress?
Yes.
And he was married?
Yes. I believe.
And yeah, not separate, and like still with the wife?
I believe so. It's been a while since I've seen the movie, but
I have to watch the movie to try to wash out the things that my eyes saw last night.
Wait, you need to be uplifted so you're going to watch Uncut Gems?
I'm going to watch Uncut Gems to uplift myself after last night's Astros Yankees loss. Astros, get it together. The rest of the AL West is literally trying to hand you the division, and you keep throwing it at your catcher's chest instead of his glove, like you're he who should not be named going forward. That's going to wrap up today's Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to everyone who's tuned in. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Make sure that you subscribe and like ESPN Houston on YouTube as well. Big thanks to Sean Mapes, texters, callers, YouTubers and Twitchers. We appreciate you so much, as do we appreciate you, the listener. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!